Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode. Well, it's the second ever Behind the Glass live event. I love these, Tony.
It's not the second. We've done more before.
No, but officially, they were unofficial events years ago. They were free-for-alls. They were mayhem.
But did we have the podcast then?
Yeah, we did have the podcast.
So it's not the second one then, is it?
It's the second official Behind the Glass live event.
With patrons.
You are in a feisty mood today and I'm not sure I can handle it.
I'm actually going to go in on it.
I know you are. Anyway, hello lovely people. Thank you so much for coming down today for the second Behind the Glass live event. It's great because as we discovered during the first live event, we get to meet people who actually listen to the show. Because sometimes Tony and I sit here and we record our conversations and we think, God, does anyone actually listen to this crap?
People do listen though.
But people do. It's great to meet so many of you today and have a chat and check out your cars. And something we're going to be doing today, which we didn't do at the first event, which I'm so sorry for all of you that we're going to be doing today, is rating the rides that you've turned up in. And I can see how nervous some of you are because, yes, Tony is in a feisty mood. We've got a few other bits to talk about today. I very recently drove a McLaren 765 LT. And we've already had a big discussion about this on WhatsApp. And I thought, let's save this and talk about it today because Tony, as you can imagine, is very opinionated about that car. And I had an interesting experience. We're going to talk a little bit about some other things going on in the news before coming on to our main topic for today, which is cars every petrol head should own. And we're definitely going to disagree on this. There's a few obvious choices. I'll be interested
are
to
we?
Hear. We definitely are.
Really?
Abarth?
Well, I mean, it's all right. I quite like that little car.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm fine. I wouldn't have that yellow thing that you had, but, right. You know, in general. I mean, it was 30 grand, mate.
I think it was... I think you find it's 39 list. I
just buy a house up north. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come back to that later. So, yeah, we'll definitely get some input from people on the floor. But as I say, we're going to kick things off by rating some of the rides that have turned up today. And my good Lord... have there been some good rides? Can I just kick things off with the fact there's a bloody Jaguar F-Type Project 7 here?
I know. You screamed across the car park at me when it turned up.
Honestly.
I
thought I'd pooped myself. The excitement was at that level. I was like, there's been an accident in my pants. But yes, a black Jaguar F-Type Project 7. Oh, my good Lord. You just don't see them. And if you do, they're usually like sort of tucked away in some collection somewhere. No one gets out and drives them, especially on a day like today when there's a thunderstorm imminently about to arrive. Because, well, the roof, which I don't know if you can call a roof on a Project 7, it's a bit of a disaster. It's like a napkin.
Well, from the front, look at it in it square on. It just looks like a normal Jag. It's only when you come to the side a little bit and you've got a bubble. I mean, the bumper's a bit different, granted, but... I mean, why do you get so excited over it?
Well, 992 Turbo S, this looks like a 997.
Everyone knows what it is, though, don't they?
No.
Well, why does it look like a 997? Are you joking?
Well, Porsche's not the same, mate. I'm just trying to get my own back.
How many Porsches you had?
Three.
How many Jags you had?
One.
There you go. It says it all then, doesn't it? You prefer Porsches to Jag?
No.
It's 1-0 to me. It's only 3 minutes.
So calm down.
See if I can get the 10.
Yeah, so, okay, fine. But Project 7, you're right, actually. People still don't understand what that car is. Speaking to the lovely owner that brought it down today, it's just the same thing, you know. So often he turns up to places and people don't really understand. First SVO car from Jaguar Land Rover. it's rear-wheel drive. That's the big thing, right? All these new powerful V8 Jags, all-wheel drive now, but that's rear-wheel drive, five, six something. I should know the total horsepower amount. Special suspension, special bits, amazing exhaust, D-type inspired. It's just, it's the dream.
Well, for you, yeah.
For me, it is. Anyway, let's move on, because I can see you're totally uninterested in talking about this. Two... Up GTI.
Oh, I can't go in on that car. I like them little cars.
It's so good, right?
Yeah.
They're just fun.
Yeah. You know what that car reminds me of? It reminds me of the original Golf GTI, that car.
Okay.
In the way it drives. I mean, have you ever driven one of them?
I actually have only ever ridden passenger. I still haven't driven one, but I know I like it just by what it is, just the idea of it.
Yeah. It's very, very go-karty. Not loads of power, but enough.
It's a proper hot hatch, right?
Yeah.
Like nowadays, Golfs, they're all getting so big and so powerful and so electronic. Like, there's something about that Up GTI which just makes you think that will be fun.
Bit more analog.
Bit more analog. So, yeah, we're giving that seal of approval. Moving on. Ooh, 997.1 GT3.
I'm not going to go too in on it. He's there and he's got muscles. I don't want him to hit me.
He honestly could. I was like, oh, it's got a heavy clutch, that car. He goes, does it? I was like, for me. Yes, my weak little legs. But no, super cool, right? I mean, you had the point two for about a week.
No, I had it for about six. I've done about literally 30 miles on it.
This is how easy it is to convince Tony to do something. His mate went, oh, you know, it's a great investment, 997.2 GT3. Great car. And he went, really? All right, I'll go buy one. Got one. He went, I'm never going to use that, am I? And then he sold it. Yeah.
But I did make some money on it, luckily.
Right, no need to show off.
Well, sorry about that.
But they're mega cars. And I think the thing about the Point One, as I discovered when I drove that Moon Miles GT3, it's an amazing amount of car for that money. It's still a fantastic car. It's a GT product Porsche, you know, well under 100K, where if you look at a lot of the other GT3 Porsche products, well over.
Last of the Metzger engine, though, right? So the Gen 2 had the 3.8 in it.
Exactly. So it sounds great. It performs great. It's just a proper car, proper driver's car, isn't it?
All Porsches are driver's car, but okay.
Is the Macan? Is the,
yes. What, for an SUV?
Oh, I chill out. I was just trying to be argumentative. So next up. Oh, okay. A returning guest, but we didn't talk about it much last week. Cayman GTS.
Yeah.
981 generation.
Yeah, Black very good. One.
Yeah, very nice. We've said before quite a lot. Actually,
when did you buy that car?
This January.
It's just this January.
How many miles it done? What'd you pay? 50 grand for that? A little bit more?
54?
Oh, I'm quite good at this, aren't I?
No. Are you about to make an offer?
I'm not too old.
It's a lovely car, though.
Very good.
Then we have Octavia. Skoda.
VRS?
VRS. Best part for me, yellow fog lights. Yellow? Don't pull that
petrol
face.
Petrol or diesel one?
Petrol.
Bit of kit, that. It's got a tune, hasn't it? Remap stage one, 310 horsepower. We were talking about this earlier
front
when
drive.
We had a coffee outside.
Front drive, aren't they?
But that's like a little sleeper. Like, I think they're cool. I actually think the VRS product Skoda's really good looking cars.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always thought, what was the green one? Is that an Octavia as well? Or what was the one below? I'm not good at my models.
The
was it an Octavia as well? The green one? Someone's nodding. Yeah. Anyway, nice car. I say it, I like the yellow fog lights. But lovely, lovely, lovely bit of kit. We haven't gone into another thing yet. Oh, what do you think about this? Civic Type, is it a Type R or is this a Civic? It's a tuned, here he is.
Whose
Type
car R. is it first?
This man over.
Well, no, he's a big chap. Very nice.
Don't be such a pussy. I like this, with a satin red wrap. Yeah, I would, I'm a fan of that.
Is that the cover of the rust up?
What I liked about this era, this show, it's like UFO style. You know, I know Type R's have always been quite aggressive on their looks, aren't they? And they've said that the newer one is going to keep that kind of really in your face. It's a bit boy racer, but it's just aggressive. And this one, for me, was very UFO.
Well, people didn't really like that actual model because the one before was obviously lighter and it was the iconic one. The current one is really, really, really very good. As in one of the best hot hatches, full stop.
Didn't we say against the Megane RS Trophy or whatever, those are the two proper... drive as hardcore, manual, full-on.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Probably the best in terms of
the hatches. The only problem with that car, I think, I don't know what you think.
Careful now, Tony.
Is, you know, nothing's really happening until you're right up in the revs in the...
You're getting some nods of approval. You're getting some
well,
nods.
Well, I mean, thank you.
Okay. Ooh, very nice. White Supra came along. The now, new Toyota Supra. Oh, hold on a sec. Oh, why are you pulling? Don't pull. He's a very nice guy, the guy who owns this. Don't.
Where are you?
Where is he? He's over here.
Oh, he's quite thin. I'm going on him. Not a big lad.
Go on then. What's no, your problem with this? No.
I absolutely destroyed that car when it came out. I went in about it being a lazy BMW and it was terrible.
So Chris Harris of you.
Did he say that?
I think so, didn't he? Wasn't
I
it?
I don't know. Well, we were good mates. No. And then I drove one and got a couple in stock. And then I was a bit derogatory, to be fair. It is good. Like, and for the money as well. Like, it's very out there. It's very quirky compared to its competitors. But it's got a bit, it's got, for a modern car, it's got some character, which is amazing for a modern car.
You hardly see them.
Mm.
I think they've got great road presence. When they come around the corner, you're like, oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, Supra. And for that sort of price, for that sort of value and that performance level, that's great. You don't always get that with its competitors. And can I just say, Tony, unfortunately, hey, I do this as well. You do jump to conclusions pretty quickly sometimes because...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because didn't you call me earlier in the week and say, oh, I've just driven a manual 718 GT4. I was probably a bit harsh about that car, wasn't I?
I did say that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was going to repeat it.
I've landed doing it now.
I mean, I still... Obviously, the PDK is obviously better and you said it was great. So, and I knew it would be great.
There's a PDK 718 here, isn't there? Who's got the PDK? So who brought that down? Good man.
Is it... what engine is it?
It's the 718 one.
No, but...
What?
Has it got the 4-litre or the other one?
Yeah,
PDK one?
Yeah.
It's a GT4, what do you mean?
Oh, is it? Oh, I haven't seen it.
Not a GTS, a GT4.
What, PDK GT4?
Yes.
New one?
You're right.
No, oh, I'll have a look at that. No, I don't know. What colour is it? I haven't seen it.
GT Silver!
Oh, hello.
That means he's going to try and buy it off you later, so watch out.
I've got one coming.
Yeah.
In like a week or so.
Amazing. No, they're super. I think they're great. A great choice. But Supra, you were wrong. I think they're very cool. However, I still haven't driven one yet. But
I'm not wrong. I mean, I'm right now. I said it was all right. I was wrong initially.
Let's move on. to this stunning GT Silver 996. I think it's GT Silver. It must be GT Silver. 996. Is it Carrera S? Carrera S? It wasn't the Carreras. Who's the 996 owner? There you are at the back. This is the Carrera, right? It's very lovely. Slightly awkward because obviously mine's now sold. So we couldn't go on the, hey, we're both silver 996 owners. Mine has now gone. You're happy about that, aren't you?
No.
You know?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm static, sorry. I thought he was asking me about that car, but no. Thank you.
You're just saying no to his car.
Sorry. It's not for me.
It's never going to be for you, is it?
No.
The thing is, when I put my car on collecting cars, I got a few messages saying, oh, isn't Tony a bit angry that you didn't give it to him to have stock? And I was like, I mean, Tony would have literally burnt that car before taking it into stock. I knew that was the case.
Yeah, I would have, yeah.
Did well, though, on collecting cars.
Very good.
I have to say, the collecting cars process as a seller was very easy. Now, look, what I would say is if I was selling my 360, never going to happen.
You wouldn't get a bid.
Piss off. Piss off. I would never put it on collecting cars because there's more that needs to be told with the story of that car. I'd want it to go to a proper person. I'd want someone who's selling it to really know what they're on about. And not say that collecting cars doesn't do that, but it doesn't give you the time to do that. The reason that I sold the 911 that way is it was quick and easy. Mm. I didn't want to have to sit around and go back and forth. But I just wanted to be gone. I was done. I was like, let's get rid of it now. So it has its right place to collecting cars. But for what I wanted... Fantastic, very happy with the sale figure. The new owner called me up immediately, we had a nice chat, he was very excited.
Did he know the car? Did he know?
So not actually, he knew the car but he didn't know me. So he only discovered me from the listing and then found my videos helpful to sort of persuade him into wanting to bid on it, which is good and nice to hear. It was a positive experience. Has anyone a couple of people have bought cars from collecting cars. You bought a car from collecting cars. Anyone else bought or sold a car on collecting cars?
Not yet. I've bought a couple.
You have bought a couple, yeah. No, it's good. it's the Poplar. Oh, no. How do we... I feel like... Where are you, Mr. Poplar owner? There he is.
It's laughing away.
You're going to have to shout loudly because the microphone's quite far away from you. But just remind us exactly what's going on here. Engine, please.
Rover V8.
The yellow... Is it Ferrari yellow? Or are we just calling it Ferrari yellow? We're calling it Ferrari yellow.
It's yellow.
Its shifter is a snake head? Yes, he giggles to himself. We don't know how much it weighs, but probably not very much. And you haven't crashed it yet, but Tony thinks you're going to crash it any second now.
No.
In the back of his Porsche, yes.
Yeah, in the back of his Porsche. Good idea. Yeah. This thing, I think, is amazing. It's like a proper little hot rod, but brilliant. You think it's awful, don't you?
I'd rather walk.
Yeah. I was taking photos of this thing for this section, and you went, oh, no, that's not one of... No one would have turned up in that. You thought it was just like part of the like Duke of London or something. I was like, no. That's one of our guests. Sorry. You couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it got here.
I think it's very cool, I have to say. It's tiny as well.
It's really small, actually.
I miss small cars. Yeah. That's why the Abarth.
And it's so basically cool. Loosely got the same engine as a Jag.
Oh, piss off.
Yes!
Very nice Golf R estate, parked right out front, right by the lovely coffee makers who've been making out STG coffee in this lovely empty cup. I just ruined my own prop there. That was stupid. But yeah, tuned up. Was it 400 horsepower, Mr. Go? Yeah, 400 odd horsepower. Lovely wheels on it. It's a nice bit of kit. Do you remember we did we do that supercar driver event together where they were in a Golf R estate as the lead car? We struggled to keep up with it.
It's more that it's enough for the road. That's it's more than enough.
Plenty for the road. Yeah. Great cars. You can more fit all your kit in it. Looks good.
Yeah,
lovely car. A very nice yellow 981 GT4.
There's a few GT4s here.
We've said this before. When we do rate my rides, I think like 60% of our listeners own GT4s.
Everyone's got GT4s,
I don't know if that means we're speaking to a GT4 audience or whether they just made 5 billion of them, but like everyone's got a GT4 who listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
But that's a particular... I love a yellow GT4. I'm a big fan of a yellow Porsche full stop. And I saw a 981 the day I was driving the PDK 718 GT4, saw the 981, I was like, that's still great. And if you're doing manual, if you're buying a manual 718 GT4, I would genuinely say save the money and get the 981. Personally, I only get the 718 if you're going to buy the PDK.
Fair enough.
That's my opinion.
Fair enough.
Right, you're not going to go in on that? No?
No.
Okay.
No, 718's better.
Fine. There's the Project 7. I took about 17 photos of the Project 7. Another white 981 Cayman. Is it an
loud,
S, a GTS?
Car. It was loud.
Base Cayman. Look, lovely. Nice wheels. Loud? Really loud. What exhaust is on there?
It's a
Valvetronic design 911. Shouty, wasn't it?
Yeah, very shouty, yeah.
There was way back in the day when Paul Wallace Supercars of London fame was all about the army tricks. I remember someone did an army tricks 981 Cayman and it literally sounded like a Formula One car from the 1980s. It was insane.
Yeah.
Very nice C63 AMG, the four-door. We've talked a lot about them before, but that engine and just that generation C63, brilliant.
Well, we sort of said last week that's probably one of the best V8 engines made, that 6.2 or 6.3 or whatever it is. Very good.
Agree with you. There's the 718 GT4.
I'm going to have a proper look around there.
I know you are. You're going to make a bid, aren't you? Lovely M2. Very nice M2 in the blue with the nice wheels.
M2 comp.
That is a comp. That was going to say. That's where you get the wheels.
I think if they've not got M2s or M2 comps, I think they've got Caymans.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good big proportion of our audience there.
You're so right. Right, what have I missed? Because I've now run out of photos. A couple of Macans knocking around. There's a nice old Range Rover. Is that a V8 Range Rover, the big old one? Where are you guys? V8?
Yeah, V8
Supercharged. Cheeky. That must be about 3 mpg, doesn't it? Something like that, yeah. What else have I missed? What else has anyone turned up? There's an S3, very nice S3.
I supplied that car.
Did you? The blue S3?
Yeah.
Is he lying?
No.
Where are you? Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awful service, I would assume so.
Oh, you won't want to sell it back off me, will you? That's that. I don't want it now.
Anything else? What else did I miss?
GT86.
That's a good little
car. Was that bone stock?
Yeah.
Shut up. That doesn't exist. That's not a thing.
The only one in the country.
Only bone stock GT86. Do you like it, though? It's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's a great little driver's car. That and MX-5 still right up there. It's just like, good.
Yeah, I agree.
I said good. Well, it's just stop. It's just good. Anything else?
M135.
Who said that? There you are. Good man. Very nice.
So
is that when did they go rear wheel drive? Is the rear wheel drive?
Oh, that's four wheel drive. A new one.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
It's good.
Torque stairs. Yeah.
It's got Haldex unit in it. That's why.
There he goes again, trying to show off with the technical. Last week he's like, let me explain how drift mode works. I was like, what? Did you go to an engineering lecture? Where's this coming from?
Well, I do know a little bit, Paul.
A little bit. Very nice. What else did I see?
And a bath?
Oh, an Abarth. How did I forget the Abarth? Come on. It's a 70th anniversary one. Lovely bit of kit. Blue.
Nice colour.
Really nice colour. So good. So, so good.
I'm fed up with hearing about them, Carls. Every week I have to listen to you about them.
It's like I get commission if I sell them.
Yeah.
Not yet. I think we've covered all the bases there.
No one's turned up in a Giulia Quadrifoglio, which I'm really upset about.
Because we know no one owns them.
Which is peculiar.
It's not peculiar, because why don't we own them?
Well, I have.
No, you've had stock, mate. That's a difference.
No, I bought an
you're
early
so
one, remember.
Social media. You're so social media. All my stock are my own cars.
Well, who bought them?
Your business bought them. But
who's the business?
You.
Well, there you go then, so they're mine. Whose are they?
You should start a YouTube channel. My 50-car garage.
Oh, can you imagine?
Fiesta ST.
That'd go down well, wouldn't it?
You'd actually probably go viral. You'd probably get more views than me. Kill me.
Better than half the other lot that are on there, that's for sure.
That's a good point. No, okay, so the one car that was supposed to be here, that unfortunately the guy got pinged. Bloody COVID. He was going to bring down a 992 Targa Heritage Edition. That would have been nice to see.
Yeah,
brand new 911 good. Targa.
A lot of money, though, them.
A ton of money. Good man for buying it. Genius. But yeah, you're right. No Giulia Quadrifoglios. And then someone sent me a photo yesterday of a Stelvio Quadrifoglio. Who's ever seen a Stelvio Quadrifoglio on the road?
Couple.
Okay, not... just wait 1 second. Anyone? No. How many have you seen, Tony?
Couple.
Yeah,
just
thank
told
you.
You.
I was asking the audience, you numb.
Oh,
just getting in. They're so rare.
Mm.
One came past me on the motor the other day, and I was like, oh, that's nice. Forgot about those. And then someone sent me a photo of a black one yesterday. Cool cars, but yeah, that's it. No,
but it's the same with that F-Pace Jag SVR.
Yeah, you're right. People
don't
overlook
see many
them.
Of them. Yeah.
People just overlook. Because I think when you get to spending 60-odd grand on a sporty SUV, which both those cars are.
McCann.
Yeah, well, or you stretch a little bit further, because it all comes down to finance at that point, doesn't it?
And SVR.
Yeah, Range Rover Sport SVRs, or, you know, you can even get second-hand Bentleys under 100 grand now, can't you?
So yeah.
I think it's a weird price point, but they're both very good. Anyway, that was our Rate My Rides. I think we were very nice to all of you, but we kind of had to because you paid to be here, so we're not going to be that rude about your car.
We are always nice to everyone.
We're never that mean, are we? You are sometimes opinionated, but we're never that mean, yeah?
Yeah.
So one thing I just want to touch on before we move on to talking about the McLaren 765LT, because that could be... No, come on! Nürburgring. Of course, we sort of should, as Petroheads, touch on the fact that there have been some pretty horrific... has been some pretty horrific flooding in and around the Nürburgring area. Plenty of coverage out there online about it. Our thoughts, I guess, go out to that community. It looks pretty horrendous. Hey, the world is an ever-changing place. We're seeing disasters left, right, and center. And, you know, here in the UK, we have plenty of them. We have had plenty of them.
Happens all over the world, mate.
There will be more, exactly. It happens all over the world. I think there are various ways that people can support and help that community. I'm pretty sure the Nürburgring or the people organizing have said stop sending donations at this point because they're now overloaded. But it is worth us trying to support as and where we can at this point. I think, you know, just worth being aware of what's going on there, probably not booking your next track day over excitedly.
Sure.
just being a bit considerate, and our thoughts go out, because if you've never been to the Nürburgring, the community around the Nürburgring are amazing. Cafes, hotels, people, they're all enthusiastic, they're all passionate, they're all supportive, and it's not the kind of place where they're going, oh, tap, 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 turn your exhaust off. Like, they kind of want you to go past revving, they kind of want you to be part of it, and it's a great place to be and a stunning place to be.
Yeah.
So to see some of the destruction that's happened there is pretty upsetting and pretty shocking, and
for sure,
God knows what it must be like to have gone through that. But as I say, not to be all Greta Thunberg, but climate change.
Very wealthy country, though, Germany. You know, they'll sort it out. They'll get plenty of support, as you would here as well. So
yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed. Doesn't take away from the trauma of your house being swept down a river.
Course
so yeah, awful. I think there's been, as I say, plenty of coverage from within the automotive sort of community online. If you don't really know what's going on, if you want to check out what's going on, if you want to find out ways that you can support, you know, just jump on YouTube, jump on anywhere. You'll find plenty of ways that you can do that. So I thought it was worth us at least saying, because we've both been there. We like going there.
Terrifying, but
absolutely terrifying. And one car that would be terrifying around the Nürburgring is, yes, the McLaren 765LT.
Well, you go first because you've driven it.
Yeah. So when it launched, we both said, what's the point in that car? If one car didn't need to be any faster, it was a 720S. If one car didn't need to do anything more, it was a 720S. That car is so capable in every single dimension, which is why I didn't like it at first, because it tries to cover too many bases. It's too comfortable. It's too fast. It's too. You're like, what is this? And over time, as all the other manufacturers, I think, have copied that sort of formula. So we've got the F8 Reputer does the same. The Turbo S does the same. The 720S has made more sense, but still...
Turbo S is the best at it.
Calm down.
Everyone here that tonight.
You're probably right.
Single one.
But anyway, so then the LT launch. And the thing is, we've always been quite pro the LT products from McLaren. The 600 LT, great car. 675 LT, probably the only McLaren either of us would actually go and buy if we had to.
We think it's probably the best car they've made.
The F1, but you would disagree. So I was like, okay, I should give this a chance. Now, I should have mentioned this before we started recording. Everyone in this room, you are under NDA without realizing it. I'm about to talk about something which officially is under embargo, which means I'm not allowed to publicly talk about it until Tuesday. If any of this gets out, I will be sued for more money than I have. So no one record this, no one talk about it. It's not that exciting, I'll be honest. But McLaren are unveiling the 765 LT Spider. On Tuesday, which I have gone and seen in film.
Well, we all knew that was coming.
Judging by everyone's reaction, everyone's like, yep.
Yeah. No way!
But apparently, I'm not allowed to talk about it publicly, but this episode will not go out till Thursday, so I would then have not broken any embargoes. But I say, please, please do not get me sued by McLaren.
And this is Tuesday today.
Oh, no, we're recording Sunday.
No, you broke the embargo.
Oh, it's Tuesday. I'm very tired. Sorry, good point. Anyway, so the reason I was driving the LT Coupe was because of the Spider, and I said I can't go and film a static Spider having never driven the actual car. That seems a bit mad. So, yes, anyway, went to pick up this thing, thought I'll give it a chance. I can hear Twiggy wagging her tail somewhere. Hello. Sorry, Twiggy's in the background distracting me. Went to pick up this LT, and you know what? Here's my thought. It's really good because it's really ridiculously stupid. As in, there's no need for it. It is so aggressive and brutal. The whole thing vibrates and hums and shakes. Poor Tugu was in the passenger seat. Every time I looked at her, she was like... If you look in the rearview mirror, it's shaking. You can't see out of the rearview mirror. Then you've got plexiglass over the engine cover that's like this. The whole time, the exhaust, four exhaust tailpipes are pop, so loud all the time that it's got start, stop, because it's 2021, ridiculous. So you're at a traffic lights and then it suddenly goes...
Is it loud?
It's so loud.
Really?
And even in its comfort setting, you can still dial it back because it is essentially a 720S. So you've still got the ability to sort of soften things off. In stock settings, in sports, you can dial it down to comfort. It's a bit better, but the throttle response is insane. You give 5%, you're like, rah! And I'm like, what is going on? And on the motorway, it's like a motorbike. The thing is so hyper alert. If you look down to do the volume controls, you're swerving between lanes. Like, it's...
Sounds dangerous.
But that's why I really liked it.
What was it? It killed you?
Yes. And I said as much in this video, which would have gone live by the time this podcast has been released. I liked it because it felt like it wanted to kill me. And I've said that about the F12 TDF before. Cars that want to kill you are fundamentally exciting. They're terrifying, but they're good. They're exciting. And they give you feeling and emotion. And not many McLarens do that. So many McLarens are dull and boring at slow speeds.
I've never driven one that has tried to kill me, essentially. Is there? Is there one? P1 maybe.
Yeah. But the rest of them are just very, very fast. And then if not that, very, very boring.
Yeah.
This car is so maniacally insane. I said in the video, if it's going to kill you, it's going to kill you and then cut you into thousands of pieces, chuck your body in an acidic bathtub and then do some satanic prayers. Like, it's like this really... And therefore... Or catch fire. But they've added a lot. There is so much... like open areas, like heat extraction area.
Really?
Oh my God. And they were talking about like, look how cool this looks. It's like an F50 or P1. I was like, no, that's literally so it doesn't catch on fire. Yeah.
Did you say that?
The only reason, yes. So look, would I have one? No. Would I have one over a 720S? Maybe, because it's mental, but you've got to be mad to want one. It's a track. It's a full-on track car. But the reason I applaud it is McLaren have actually gone and built it.
Fair enough.
So talk to me, because you were raging in the week because Paul and I decided to gang up your on you on WhatsApp. And I sent Tony a message saying I'd have a 765 LT instead of a Pista. He started fuming. I then said that the LT was going to hold its value better than a Pista. He fumed even more.
Sent me screenshots.
And he's going,
cars.
Guys, I'm busy, which you weren't. And
well, I was.
We were winding you up. So go on, talk to me about your thoughts.
Listen, trying to convince me about 765 LT is like trying to convince a turkey about Christmas. I mean, mate, I am not interested in that car. You can't listen. They're nearly 400 grand spec'd.
Yeah.
Which is, so you can have a used Pista, say, and any pick anything else after that, basically, as a two car. I know you were going in on me about look at the values of these and look at the values of that, but that car will be 200 grand in 3 years' time. It would have done half its value for sure. And then you tried to come back at me and said, well, there's only 40. Well, there's six available for sale now. So that's 8% of them. They're not even all built yet.
I was definitely winding you up. I texted Paul before I texted you saying, watch this, dot, dot, dot.
Of course.
I sent you all those messages. But fundamentally, I think the only reason I'm pro it at this stage is the fact that McLaren have been brave enough to make it, because it's stupid. Like, you wouldn't want it. It's so aggressive. It's so insanely fast and hyper alert. On track, it's probably amazing. On track, I think it must be spectacular. But at that point, well, no, not at that point, go and buy a GT3 car because they're 100 grand more. But it doesn't make sense. But that's why I like that it's been built. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm trying to say, is that McLaren, often playing to the masses, build these cars that do everything, where it feels like somebody in McLaren, or the cool people in McLaren, have gone, no, I want it to be mental. I want it to be ridiculous. I want no one to ever want it. And I'm no compromises here.
But they kind of have to make it and do that, because that market, which is amazing, it's nearly a 400 grand market, it's so competitive. You've got the Black Series Merc. You've got that. You've got the STO. These are all three cars that have all come out at the same time. And then you work back, you've got the Pista. There's more that I can probably think of if I had a bit more time.
If you were prepared.
If I prepared myself, yeah. But just look at the... There's not enough people for them cars, for all them cars.
Well, I think there are, unfortunately. There's more people with too much money, you know. These cars do sell.
We're going to see,
I suppose. But I don't know. I should have walked away going like, you know, and the Spider's the one I'd have, because it would allow in a lot more of that emotion, because the engine is right behind your shoulder. They've got a sort of new weird glass. You can see some of the engine within the cabin, so it's super mechanical. It's a bit like a Carrera GT. All you hear is engine. You don't hear any of the exhaust. Not the exhaust sounds that nice, but so it's horrible in there. It's horrible. Like, it's just not
less
fun.
Less Spiders than coupes, I imagine.
No, same number. 765.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is brave, because they didn't make 500, but they said they made 500, 600. 675 LTs.
Yeah.
They struggled to sell all them.
Yeah.
And they've made another 200 of them.
Yeah, it's a big number and big money, as you say. The Spider, I get, I don't know, like, I'm like, cool. Like, good that it exists, but at the same time, it's just...
You know, another thing as well is that I appreciate how good it probably is, right? But all cars at that money are good, because you'd be fuming if they weren't. But... listen, for 150 grand, if you really want a McLaren, you can have a 600 LT.
Yes, yeah, which is probably, well, as mad, but a touch more usable? I don't know.
Loads more usable. Yeah. And you can have nearly three of them for the
before you buy a 765.
Exactly.
I'm sort of with you, but then when I saw the Spider in the room, I was like, it does look like a 300 grand car. It does look like an expensive car. Not for long, but anyway, we'll see.
Have you seen that new Aventador that's come out?
The Ultima. What was
nearly
it called?
Nearly half a million quid.
For what? It's an Aventador S, right, with a body kit?
Yeah, no, with no body kit.
Oh, no body kit.
It's the last generation.
The finale.
The Aventador S, the copy in Pagani.
I mean, they are a joke with that car. But why aren't they releasing the replacement? Like, where's the replacement Aventador?
It's not ready. It's
what do you mean
system.
It's not ready? They've built that car for 35 years.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit of an embarrassment. I think they was about to release it, and then Ferrari released the SF90. It was a lot more horsepower.
So they thought,
we can't release that quite yet because it's a bit of an embarrassment.
Yes.
So I think that's what happened.
Okay, so they're trying to develop more out of it?
Yeah.
But do you not think it's equally embarrassing to do another Aventador? Haven't we seen every single iteration of an Aventador
ever?
But
they do run, mate, for... Is it 10 years now that car's been running? They do normally run for that period of time.
To be fair, you're right. The Lambos, you know, they don't churn out their big Halo models.
No.
But I don't know. I'm kind of like, I feel like it's needed.
More than needed, yeah.
More than needed for that.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, well, I mean, maybe Aventador's going to make it into our next list because I wanted to touch on cars every petrol head should own at some point in their life. Now, we're talking sort of almost forget money for a second, because let's just hope and assume that at various points in life you have enough money to buy these cars. And if you did, what are the cars that you must try? Now, the reason I wanted to kick this off is that I think in the Top Gear, true Top Gear era, it was always Alfa, right? You're not a petrol head unless you've owned an Alfa Romeo. That was Clarkson's favourite statement. But I'm going to say right now, I do not think that is true anymore.
Oh, I don't know about that Giulia Quadrifoglio. I think you've got to have one of them.
But do you not think Alfa Romeo no longer represents what it did? I think Clarkson's mentality was, you know, they're sort of so awful, they'll put you through such hell, they'll rust, they'll break down, but the joy you'll get when they work will outweigh that, and that's a true petrolhead experience. You know, we've all had cars that are kind of awful or have their quirks or have their bad parts, but as petrolheads we go, that doesn't matter, it sounds amazing, or look how great the gear change is. And I think that's what Alfa used to be, but now the Giulia Quadrifoglio is just really good. And okay, fine, some of them didn't work at the beginning, but now I think they do, and it doesn't have that same sort of, I don't know what, appeal. It's just, well, as we know, no one buys them.
That would be in my list though, mate.
A Quadrifoglio?
Yeah.
What about a 4C?
No chance. Flipping hell.
But that's my point, right? I think they've lost some of that mysticism. Like, it's no longer... Okay, hands up here. Who lusts after owning an Alfa Romeo at one point? What, one guy who then put his hand down very quickly. That's the thing, is I do think 15 years ago when Clarkson used to bang on about it in Top Gear, everyone was like, yeah, Alfa Romeo, like true petrol. I just don't think it's got that same appeal anymore.
But, I mean, they are good now, which is odd. I mean, if you all drove one, you'd go, flipping hell, I've got to have one of these. No one ever,
including us.
Exactly, they just get overlooked. But it's a cracking car, that.
I don't think you need to. Like, I don't think that's a car. I think you should drive one. I would change that and say everyone should drive a Giulia Quadrifoglio. I don't think necessarily to own one. I would say on the flip, everyone should at some point own a BMW M3. Because it's similar ilk. And we're talking about the four door here, not the weird M4.
Yeah, for technology, maybe. Yeah, maybe for technology.
They've always represented something. Okay, the new era represents damn ugly, but you know, fundamentally, they always represent some kind of a driver's car.
The BMW M cars always drive properly. Yeah, they always drive properly.
So throughout the generations, of course, now we've got M2. We had 1M as well. That, you know, some people say, oh, that's the true M car these days. But if you look at from what E30 like, through to modern day, M3 has always represented something. And I think,
of course, yeah,
as a petrol head, I only owned a 330i saloon, so I've never owned an M3, but I feel like I had a little bit of that BMW, and now I'm in an X40. Yeah. No, well, sorry, X3 M40i. God, I don't even know the name. Wished I was in a Volvo, clearly. Yeah. But, you know, I think there's something about BMW and M which maybe everyone needs to experience at some
point. I agree.
Put your hands up for M3 ownerships or desire. No one. What is going on? Okay, come on. Yeah?
E46,
okay.
Who's had an M car in here? That's probably near. Who's bought an M car at some point?
Who wants an M car? Yeah, okay, there we go.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
phew, finally. I got a bit nervous now. Do we not know? Who wants a GT4? But yeah, I do think that I'm going to put M3, not just M car.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, fine. Go on, give a shout, because I almost certainly know which one you're going to say. So.
Well, it's a Porsche.
Yeah.
Now, I am going to say GT4 because, because not everyone, it's not always obtainable to be spending 150, 200 grand on a car. Porsche make that car to get into an affordable GT car. And really, when you think, for money, is there really, as a sports car, for that money and that level, is there anything better than a GT4? Really?
Well, I would combat that by saying everyone should at some point own a 911.
Yeah, yeah.
GT4 is fairly specific, right? But the 911, okay, every era has changed slightly, and there'll be some people from the 70s going like, oh, a 991 is a disaster. And, 997 to 991, huge difference. They do change, but fundamentally a 911 is a thing. It looks a certain way. It feels a certain way to drive. It's different to many other things on the road. And if you've had that Porsche experience, we keep saying it's a cult. Once you buy one, you're kind of in for life. At that point, it's like Apple, really hard to step away from. You just want all the others. And that's something very unique to Porsche, I think. Hence why I've had three and not kept any of them. But anyway, long story short. And so therefore, I think 911 as petrolheads, as drivers, it's something we should all experience if we can.
And I would agree, 911. But again, mate, a new 911 now is 100 grand.
No, but that's what I'm not saying. I said at the beginning, definitely budget is no thought about budget. Because at some point in life, hopefully, we'll all work to a point where we can buy any car. So if you got to that point, what car should we all try and own at various stages of our lives? But also, you can go and buy a 996, 911 for relatively little money these days.
I wouldn't advise that. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. But this is you've got the potential to get into a 911 at any budget, and that goes right up to GT2 RSs or Speedsters or whatever it might be. And so I'm putting money outside the window because let's just pretend we won the Euro Millions and you wanted to build the ultimate garage. What is the one, what are the various cars you should include in there as a petrol head?
Ferrari.
Well, we're
Enzo.
No, but wait, stick with the 911 for a second. What I'm trying to say is cars that we should all experience owning if we could.
Okay.
And GT4, I think, is too specifically niche. Okay. And there's only two variants. One 911 ranges 70 years.
Fair enough. At some point. No, I'd still have the GT4 in there. I know what you're saying. And that, if you haven't got money for a GT4, then, you can have. Or even a normal Cayman, mate. Like a normal, it's still the best sports car for its price range. It's still very good.
Well, speaking about affordable sports cars or, relatively affordable, MX-5?
Yeah, I mean, it is good, but, people do buy them, I suppose, but...
As a true petrol head, shouldn't we have all experienced and driven, or GT86, another great example, a low horsepower, rear-wheel drive, light, small sports car. Like, that is... That's driving. Like, there's nothing around the edges of it. That's if we had no money in the world and we were sitting in this room, but someone gave each of us 500 quid, I'd go and find an MX-5.
Yeah.
Because, it's still going to give you some thrill, right?
I wonder what would be your guys' realistic dream car.
Okay,
that's probably
we'll flip it on its head for a second. Yeah. Let's interject. We can get some calls from the crowd. So, are you saying not money, no dream? Okay, so realistic. What would you like your next car to be? Let's say you're working hard. You've got a sort of you've seen something. You think that's kind of achievable. I already know GT4 owners are talking about GT3s. I'm familiar with that issue. Let's work our way from the left and right. We're going to start over here with Supra and Up GTI crew. What would the next attainable car potentially be?
Lotus Emira.
Lotus Emira, yes, what a good shout.
Have you seen it?
Exige. Two Lotuses, two Lotai.
Have you seen that Emira?
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Really?
I do think you're becoming more of an outsider on the Emira.
Yeah, I was.
You turned against it a bit.
So excited when I saw it. Well, we know when I saw it, it was all like flapping. But and then when I actually saw it, I thought, oh, now I know why it's 60 grand. It looks like it.
But
it
you keep saying like that's a bad thing. Like, it's not supposed to be more. We saw the pictures and thought that looks like a 120 grand car. It's a 60 grand car. That's why it's 60 grand. You'll keep saying, oh, now I know why it's 60 grand.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's 60 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, but it's like seeing a girl on Instagram that's photoshopped and then actually seeing her in real life and thinking, oh my God. What's happened there? No, because that's a thing, man.
No, but it's
the
not,
same thing.
No, it's not, because it would be the same thing if she said, this image is photoshopped.
Well, we know it's photoshopped.
No, but the Emira is 60 grand. You walked in and went, that looks 60 grand.
I didn't say that at first, though, did I? When I saw the pictures, I said it looked like a supercar.
But it always said it was 60 grand. Yeah, so this is the thing, like, your head, so you're looking at photoshopped girl going, oh, that's all real, I love that, I'll have a bit of that. And then you're going, oh, wait, I'm saying she's a catfish. But if she said, I have photoshopped this image, this is not what I look like, you'd go, okay, when I meet her, I know she's not going to look like that. You can't then go, well, you look fit on Instagram, love.
Yeah, but, mate, it's not for me. I mean,
I know it's not, but your argument for why it's not for me frustrates me.
Okay, good. And what engine do you want?
It would have to be the
3.0. The V6?
I think... it's got to be a manual.
This is a petrolhead segment. Be careful.
Okay.
You're still going in. You're so annoying. Okay, let's move on. So, Cayman GTS, arguably one of the nicest cars here. What's your eye on next? 7, okay, it's GT4.
Good
I mean,
shout.
That's the thing. It's the Porsche cult. If you've got a Porsche, you're looking for the next Porsche. So, GT3. It's a recent acquisition, so maybe you're not looking to change up too soon.
991.2
GT3. 991.2.
Perfect.
Manual or PDK? PDK.
Yeah, see, he's learning. Yeah. No, you know why? Because he's you know, not young. He's not old, but he's not young. You know,
Hold on a second.
No, wait.
He's 25. He told me earlier.
Hard paper round, not mine. He understands, mate. He gets it. You know, like talking to some of these dribbly kids sometimes. They Daniel GT3, yeah, lovely, three pedals. Can't even reach the pedals.
It is a social media thing. We talked about this when people said, oh, can you imagine a manual 599 GTO? I wouldn't want to. I mean, you wouldn't go anywhere. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
M2 Comp, what would be next on the agenda? Okay, Lamborghini Urus. No, hey, each their own. If that's, you know, goals, I'm getting not such similar looks from the area you're with. But
that new M3, so the Alpha you were talking about, that is quite good.
Giulia Quadrifoglio. Twiggy's tearing something up in the background. Okay, yeah, I could see that. M2 to an M3 or a Giulia Quad, that's a pretty...
Or Urus.
Or Urus, yeah, yeah. Building the collection.
Yeah.
GT86, where are we going from there?
Not too sure. Maybe an F80
M3. An F80
M3. Good shout.
A big power, though. You,
yeah.
You had to, first day in the rain, be careful if you make that jump. That's a disaster,
crash.
Right? Yeah. Audi S3? I was looking behind you there. What? Go on, mate. Sorry, jump in.
Cayman GTS again.
Cayman GTS, yeah. Everyone's loving the Cayman. Where's the Cayman gang? So, sorry, yeah, behind you. Audi S3, where'd you go from there? M5.
Oh, new shape one.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll look for one. I'll look for one for you.
So
mate, that is one of my favourite cars, that.
I saw Alexander's Prestige, the 35-year edition. What shape was that? Is that the latest one? It's satin black and had gold bits in it. They're only making 350 of them.
Is that the latest car?
I don't know if that's the latest one. Wasn't it just before? I think it was the one just before.
Mm.
But it was brand new. It had all the plastic still on it. Absolutely nuts collector
it's
thing.
It's a proper car.
Proper cars. Yeah. They do everything. Absolute machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I forgot what you came down in.
I came down in a BMW 125i.
Okay. Where would you like to go from there? Cayman, yeah, welcome to the gang. Instead of behind the glass stickers, I'm going to start hanging out Cayman owners clubs stickers for these events.
Mate, it's because it is the best. Cayman or an M car. Yeah. I mean, they are really the go-to cars, I think, for the general public.
You need to stock more,
public.
You'll sell more.
Well, I do. So we sell loads of them.
Okay, we're going to keep powering through that. I quite like this segment. Well done, Tony. Flip this on his head. Okay, Civic Type R. So where do we go from there? New NSX. Oh, Tony, we were supposed to buy one of those about 2 years ago.
Well, I'm hoping you wouldn't remind him because they're going to come in on us again.
Proper car. And you know what? Paul Wallace, again, not to keep giving him free promotion. He said he drove that the other day and he was like, what a... That's overlooked. Just like the Project 7, what an overlooked car.
Underrated car.
So underrated. Yeah. As quick as a 570S.
Yeah,
literally as quick as a 570S.
Yeah.
So much more usable. Because the interior is a bit cheap, you can kind of feel like you can bash it around a bit. You're not really breaking really expensive things.
And it's a Honda.
It's a Honda, but like, but in a good way.
Yeah,
it's so
yeah.
cool. And people see it and they go, what's that? Like, so you're sticking with the Honda family. I like that. And you're in a... TTRS would be because you're in a TT at the moment, right?
That's a good car.
TTRS,
very good. Do you remember? That's one of the first videos we've done.
One of the first times we ever filmed together on CD Glass, TTRS.
TTRS.
It was like Buying a Daily series.
That's right, yeah.
You came down on the train, good sir. What if you were swapping the train for something?
Probably an M4, new M4.
What, hands up, who thinks the new M3, M4 is starting to look quite good? Yeah, everyone's put their hands up.
I always said that car looked good.
I had that realisation the other day. One pulled up next to me and I was like, oh, damn it, it's starting to look quite good. That's so annoying. Good shout, though.
I'd like a 997 PDK.
997 PDK. Does the Carrera S or... 4S. Okay, lovely. That's from the 135i, right?
Yeah.
So that would be a nice step. I think the 997.2, I found a brown one. What do you mean a nice step?
It would be a nice step. His car that he's got now is better.
Quicker.
Don't be silly. He wants to get a 911.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, there you go. That's better. It's got all that modern technology and head-up display and all that. 997's like getting in your car.
Well, mister, I just turned up in a PDK GT4.
Yeah.
I don't think you can possibly want anything else, but go on. If you were... A 907 GT3. There's a man in front of you who said he will take 200 grand for one today. The RS, okay, RS, be very, very nice.
Like another one, he's got a better car. I see this so often. People coming out of their cars, they're going to worse cars.
Yeah.
You've got a better car.
It's like a man who says a 540C and buys a 360. Who'd do that?
Yeah, who'd do that? No, even I'd do that.
You would do that?
What, I'd have a 360?
You're starting to be quite nice about my 360. This week on WhatsApp, you said you'd have one instead of a 765 LT.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I was probably trying to wind you up. Don't know about that.
Abarth, where'd you go from an Abarth? 4C, man, after my own heart. Come on, that's a genius move. Thing is, I've said it before in the podcast, they're starting to lose a little bit of their appeal for me, the 4Cs. I think it's still great. I don't want to talk you out of it. Leaning more towards F-Type because he's just a legend, that guy.
Oh, that's better. F-Type.
I would get an F-Type. Although, so I was recently driving a Ferrari and the Ferrari press officer bought the F-Type to swap the cars with me.
Show off.
Hello. And he turned up and he got out. He absolutely ruined the F-Type. I couldn't believe how much it oscillates on the road. I was like, all right, chill out, just because you're driving Ferraris all day. Guys, you didn't drive. Did you drive down today?
Polo.
Where would you go from Polo? M3? M2, okay, that makes a bit of sense.
Comp or non-comp?
Comp,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cayman, where would we go from Cayman?
I was going to say 997.
GT3. GT3 4-litre. Okay, I think he's doing
People
well.
Forget about that 458 now, don't they? It's a little bit old now, though, to be fair.
I don't think anyone forgets about a 458, do they?
No one really ever talks about it, though, or says 458, though. When's the last time you heard someone say 458?
Just now.
Apart from men.
Now, if the Project 7 man wants to change his car for anything, I'm literally going to leave right now. The podcast is going to be over. So I hope you're going to say, nothing, I'm happy with what I've got. But what would you change your Project 7 for?
An F12.
Right, that's it, I'm out. Yeah.
No, you know.
No, I mean, a fairly good shout, to be honest.
Great car. It'd kill you.
On a day like today, because it's just not... bone dry, you would crash on the way out. But that's kind of what makes it so exciting, I think. So
makes sense, though.
It makes sense. I'm trying to look behind you. You've got the Range Rover, the V8. Where would we go from there?
I like the new Defender with
the V8 in it. The new V8 Defender. Very different, I think, you'd find, for many reasons. I've heard rumours on the grapevine that there's now going to be... Because that, I think, is it limited, that V8 one they did? Which doesn't make a lot of sense. Or maybe not. But there's apparently going to be an SVR variant as well.
Mm.
So that's going to be going up against G-Wagon.
That would make loads of sense, an SVR version.
An SVR version. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see how you...
It'd be much the same as your current car. It won't work.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I've forgotten what you came down in as well. 996, of course, of course. How did I forget that? Well, again, I'm sure you wouldn't want to change, but if you had to, what would you be looking to? 430.
I had one of them.
You keep thinking about Scud as well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I dip in and out. I mean, it's just going to break, isn't it? But I had a 430. I enjoyed it. It was my first Ferrari.
Manual or F1 box? Don't care. Manual. That's a monster
as
a manual.
A few quid, though, mate. You get a 458 for not much more money than a manual 430.
Yeah, at that point. Would you have a 458 if it was the same money as a manual 430? That's your era, the 430.
He likes older
stuff.
Yeah,
it's a bit like me in the 360.
Fair.
It kind of makes
fair
sense.
Enough. Yeah.
Where else have we got to? Guys at the back. Oh, McCann to AMR Vantage.
Are you well?
I get the feeling like you're... Yeah. I think that's a one-sided decision. That's a couple we're looking at here, and maybe that's a one-sided...
She's fuming.
She's
like me.
AMR Vantage. I'm supposed to be driving that in the week. You got a GT4? Oh, sorry, okay. So if you've got a GT4, bloody, you can come back. You, McCann to AMR Vantage can leave. No, I'm joking.
Are you married, are you two? Are you married? Okay. Not for long.
GT4, very cool. AMR Vantage, Paul and I are supposed to be doing a video on that this week, so I'm super intrigued to hear. They're all manual, are they, the AMRs, or you can option it? I don't know.
No, I think they're manual.
I think they're all manual, yeah. I think maybe, which is supposed to be a bit of a handful, but good-looking car, for sure. Yellow GT4, again, I'll be shocked. I mean, if you don't say GT3, you're probably going to be very unpopular, but... F430 or GT3 Touring.
F430 from a Cayman. You've gone backwards.
It's a generational thing, okay?
No, he's not that old.
No, but it's cars that you lust after. It's like the 360 for me. It's cars you lust after when you're growing up.
Yeah, but he's got a great car. He's going to go into a terrible one.
He's not going to go into a terrible one. Go around the lap, he's going to be slower, but it's not about going around the lap.
Yes, it is.
No, it's always around the lap for you. okay, moving across. So, Golf R Estate. Where do we go from there? Exige. More Lotus gangs. You guys can hang out after the event. I do love an Exige.
I thought you were going to say RS6.
But that's also extreme, going from Golf R Estate to Exige. You're going to have to sell everything you own.
That's like an obvious step, though.
It's too obvious. He's not an obvious guy. He likes to be a bit been out there, a bit quirky. Look at his beard.
I bet he's an accountant.
No? Absolutely not. Way too trendy for an accountant. Yeah. Guys? C63S. What did you come down in today? Oh, yeah, the Octavia, of course, with the yellow.
That's a great car, that C63.
You have to be yellow fog lights on the C63. The new shape, the coupe, did you say?
Okay. Yeah, it's a great
car. Yeah, it's a very good car. Yeah. And I like the Edition 1 ones, or the first of them would be the yellow and the satin grey. That was all quite nice.
It's a modern car, and it is rare because we say it quite a lot because they're so good modern cars, they do everything. It's a modern car with some character. And it's rare. It is rare now to find a modern car with some character, yeah. And that's one of them. It's
bit of a monster, pops and bangs. Yeah. Poplar.
Ford Escort Gear.
Ford Escort Gear. Tony was like, "What?" Yeah.
E39 M5.
That's a sought after car these days. People are going mad.
Told you about one of them, didn't I? I couldn't give
I
one
told
of them.
You about them.
No. What I mean is I told you about... I couldn't give couldn't one get, away yeah, 10 yeah, yeah. years ago.
We see this so often, right? Like M3 CSLs, which are now obviously like so popular, so in vogue, but for a while they were
unsellable. Are they 50 or 60 grand now, then?
One went up for 100 the other day.
Oh, no.
100 for an M3 CSL. Madness, right?
No chance.
Sorry, I forgot. Did you come down in a... which car did you come down in?
McCann.
McCann, great.
Great car.
Where would you go from there? Doesn't want to. Boxster Spider. That's very nice. I love the 718 or the 981, or you don't really care? Just give me a Boxster Spider. 981, yeah. It's got a softer look to it, doesn't it? Shoutier. Nice car.
You stagged that off last week.
No, 718 I did.
Oh.
Yeah. But the thing is, what I'm picking up on, people have got the practical cars are going for the least practical options.
I know,
From a McCann to a Boxster Spider, from a Golf R to an Exige. Like, you're all screwed. You're not going to ask him any of your stuff. And then right at the back.
I think I'd get a few more jobs, but
I'd
go for a TDF.
Oh, TDF. What are you in at the moment? What are you in at the moment?
The
C63 to TDF. That would be an unbelievable transition. And I would literally applaud you and come and make a video on your new car.
That's one of my favourite cars, that TDF.
Okay,
full
so
stop.
I wonder for those listening who aren't here today whether that was an interesting segment, but I actually think it was a fascinating segment because it shows for all of us, right, no matter what car you've got, and there are people here who've literally picked up cars in the last couple of months, we're always thinking about what's next, right? I think as petrolheads, you're always continuing to shop. It's very hard to be that happy with what you've got or content with what you've got because who else sits on Auto Trader and just currently goes like, I'll just increase my budget ever so slightly and see what else I can buy. And we often give ourselves a hard time, I think, for sort of, yeah, being a bit bored with stuff or chopping and changing. We talked about it last week, the fact that YouTubers chop and change cars often. But when you're in and around cars and coming to events like today, right, how many times or how many cars out there today on the car park have you seen that I've gone, oh, I like one of those. Like I say, the 981 GTS is obviously the Project 7, even the Golf R Estate. I'm like, that's just a nice usable car. Like, and that's what happens when we're overexposed, especially with social media. We're always wanting something else.
I'd like most of them because I need some stock.
Yeah. If you're interested in selling for
please,
probably
everyone
not
help
a
me.
Great figure, get in touch with Tony. He's always looking for stock.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just part of our lives. So cars every petrolhead should own are probably whatever car you're thinking of next. I think fundamentally we should all own as many things as we could.
Of course.
Or would want to. Mm. And there's always going to be something else. Because I think even if you had a TDF today, there'd be something else. They just would.
What would you have?
What would be next? Well, we know Project 7, GT3 Touring, I would say 992 or 991.2. And I'd probably be happy. However, people in the room wouldn't have seen this yet, but when this podcast goes live, I drove a Challenger Dali on Friday, Alexander's Prestige. And once again, I said, you know, I always bang on about that. I don't need one with my Modena now, but whenever I get near one, I do still want one. So I think money, no object, dream three car garage for me right here, right now. Challenger Dali, Project 7, GT3 Touring. I'd keep the Modena still, but let's just forget about it for a second. What would you have? What's next on your radar? Do you want to keep that Turbo S?
No, it's for sale.
I know, but
I really like it. I think that'd be in there, mate, as an all-round car. Mm. That would be there. The new 3 RS, when that comes,
okay.
I'd have one of them. And then a Ferrari.
Have you gone off the 2 RS?
No. You know why I've gone off it? It's too much money. I kind of missed the boat with that car. I could have bought one of them just before pandemic for just shy of 300 grand with no miles on it, and I should have done it. And I just thought, and I am denied, and I knew we was coming into the pandemic. It was like December, January time, and I was a bit umming and ahhing.
He's a prophet, by the way. He can always see ahead to the future.
Thank you. I can. Anything you want to ask, I know. And I didn't do it for that reason.
Yeah.
And I missed it. I missed the boat.
You missed the boat. Yeah. No, fair enough.
It's gone now, I think, that car.
Any particular Ferrari or just you was like another Ferrari? Because who doesn't?
I don't really want to elaborate on
the
Ferrari.
Did they accept your SF90 deposit?
I don't know if I want one of them, mate. They're too expensive. Like, you know, how far do you... It's half a million quid.
So 812 Competizione?
Yes.
Yes, okay, done.
Yeah. Well, TDF would be...
Right up there.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay, well, we will draw a close to today's episode and this Behind the Glass live event. Thank you so much for all of you that came along. You've really been a part of today's episode. We basically couldn't have done this episode without you because we ended up using you all for a subject or for a topic. We'll do that next time. Makes our life a lot easier. But no, thank you so much for bringing such interesting cars, for being part of it. We hope those of you watching and listening enjoyed the episode. If you're watching here on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. Turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes. If you're listening, keep listening on whatever platform you're listening on. You can follow Tony at Tony Gravel with Car Sales on most social media platforms, and I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media. I always mess that bit up. Most social media platforms. And we will be back with you soon. Oh, okay. Everyone in the room, just stay sitting for 2 seconds. We forgot to do the bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
At the beginning. Anyway, we'll catch up with you soon. Thank you.